Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Hey guys, this is Emil Heskey, and you're listening to the guys from Coppin Crackers.
Hello everybody and welcome to this week's episode of Coppin Crackers, powered by Twistlight Media Group. I am your host Chris, and today I am joined by Ellis and Peter to discuss all things LFC. Gents, how are you doing on this lovely, sunny, weirdly sunny, Tuesday evening?
I'm alright man. Yeah, I can't complain. Yeah, it was just raining not too long ago, but it's still sunny, but the weather's weird, isn't it?
So it's so weird. Like honestly, I went out for a quick walk earlier on, and the wind was just violating me left, right, and centre to the point where I was like, I don't need this. I'm going back home. So it's like he needs to make his mind up of what he wants to do now. We're in May.
Come on.
You know what I mean?
Really needs to go out, man. How are you doing?
Childish behaviour. I'm really good, thanks, mate. Started a new job today, so I'm quite happy with that. Bit weird, the whole kind of onboarding process. Oh, thanks, bro. Thank you. Bit weird, the whole onboarding process, doing it all over Microsoft Teams. So that's quite fun. And it's like, you know, can you hear me? Oh, sorry, Darren, your connection's going. It's like, oh, no. Oh. But apart from that, I'm all good. Peter, sir, how are you doing?
Yeah, I'm all good, man. Just enjoying my bank holiday. Just with the game getting cancelled, it's a bit mixed emotions. But, yeah, we'll get into that. But, yeah, I ain't been on in a while, so I'm happy to be on. Share my opinions and yeah, let's get to it.
Nah, I love it, bro. Before we do kind of get stuck into all things Liverpool or all things not happened that were Liverpool related, if you are watching us on YouTube, thank you very much for kind of joining us here. But please make sure to subscribe to the Twistlight Crackers YouTube channel and like this video as well, because obviously all these little things do help us more than you think in terms of where we want to go. So every little like helps. And if you are a big fan of what we do here at Coppin Crackers and you want a little bit more content on a weekly basis, then, oh, I have a little bit of a thing for you. It is the Coppin Crackers Patreon page where you'll get at minimum This is minimum, by the way, two new pieces of content per week. It includes live post-match reaction shows, weekend preview shows, at the award-winning AOB. It's not won an award, but it definitely has won an award in the millions of people who listen to it on a weekly basis. And a lot more of our bespoke shows as well. And with the transfer window coming up, there'll be a lot more of those available. So if you are interested, please do head over to www.patreon.com/coppinfracas. You can see it at the bottom of your screen right now. And sign up today. So, gents, weird weekend. Our game, half four kickoff. You're kind of waiting for it, bank holiday weekend. You know you got the Monday off. You know you got the Monday where you can kind of sit at home, deliberate. If it was a bit of a loss, you can get a little bit drunk on the Sunday evening and, you know, not fear the consequences on the Monday morning. There were no consequences, though. Actually, I say that the consequences were that the game never actually happened. It never happened. We all just sat there and watched Gary Neville talk for the better part of 3 hours because he likes the way his voice sounds. Strong protests were held at Old Trafford and at the team's hotels, which meant that Manchester United and Liverpool weren't able to play out their normal 0-0 draw, which was a bit odd, in all honesty. Niles, I'll come to you. I'll let you kick us off because this is a topic that you and the guys on the main pod talked really well about yesterday. So I'll kind of let you lead the conversation on this. What were your thoughts on kind of the events that took place on Sunday?
To be fair, I kind of agree how they're protesting against the Glazers, having been told like what the Glazers are actually doing, what they're up to, how they are hemorrhaging Man United from billions of pounds whilst not really putting anything back and just relying on the fact that United are such a big commercial entity and they just get money due to their commercial stuff. Yeah, they're not in favour. And to be fair, they've been protesting the best part of 10 years for me, I think. Yeah, so the best part of 10 years.
Like, it's a long time because I remember going to a Liverpool United game in like 2009. And they were protesting then. Yeah. So it's been going on for a while.
It's not nothing new. I don't agree with breaking into private property and damaging things of your supposed beloved club. I don't really agree with that. I don't agree with going into places like the changing rooms. I don't agree with going to the team's hotel because the players have nothing to do with it. If you want to protest, you can go to the head office of the Glazers if they have one in Manchester. You can go to the head office, do that there. You could have protest outside of the stadium, like what everyone else does. So I'm not really sure why they went into the stadium. That's wrong in my opinion. But at the same time, what they were protesting for is the right cause. Because I didn't tell you, if you want owners, you want your owners to. I know we're going to get onto this a bit further down the line, but you want your owners to like at least do right with the club. And if you're going to make money from the club, at least pump money into the club. I think this, you made a good point on the main pod where he was talking about there's no football operations at Man United. There's just confusion. They've come in at Man United. How many, apart from Fergie, they've had what? Moyes, Van Gaal, Solskjaer, Mourinho, what's that, four or five managers. They've all had their own different players. They've spent a lot of money on these said different players. They can't get them off the wage books anyway. So the football operation is absolutely a mess. And I can see why those fans are frustrated.
Well, that was one of the really interesting things as well. Because, guys, if you haven't listened to this week's main Touchline Fracas pod, please do so. Because Disu made some fantastic points. If you aren't aware of the situation at United, he made some fantastic kind of points and really painted the picture for me, especially. I knew it was fairly bad, but I didn't know how bad to the extent it was. And the big main thing that came out of this was, like you said, Els, that sporting management piece of it, really. They didn't have a sport. They don't have a sporting director. Obviously, he was left to Ed Woodward to kind of make all these transfers up and do those negotiations. And everything just seemed like it was off a whim, really. There's no real kind of scouting practices in place, which is for a club like Manchester United is absolutely staggering.
Yeah, it's mental, like, yeah, for such a big establishment like that. And I think it just boils, obviously, this is not a Man United pod or anything, so, yeah. But it just boils down to, like, them, it was always in Ferguson we trust. Same as Arsenal, really. It was always in Ferguson and Wenger we trust. They're the man, yep. The head honchos. They know what they're doing, and they didn't really have a fallback for that, and we can see now what's happening. So, how it affected Liverpool, obviously, we didn't get to play our game. All that preparation at the window. I believe we should get the 3 points just on a merit of forfeit, but yeah, they won't do that. Have they put a new date in?
They haven't. And obviously because of United's Europa League schedule, because I generally think they'll probably end up getting to the final. I mean, you look at their score at the moment against Roma, as we're talking about in the weekend preview, the defunct weekend preview, because we previewed a game that never happened. If 6-6 with 6-2, so, I mean, that's quite the margin. So there's not really a place where they can fit the game in. I think you would have to involve moving around one of our games, which is quite interesting. But yeah, I mean, I think for everything that happened, you know, putting people's safety at risk, it just makes sense to kind of just award us the 3 points. You know, you know what I mean? In the Eddie Guerrero handbook of all things, of lying, cheating and stealing, I would like to take all 3 points from that fixture.
Exactly what I'm saying. I'll take all 3 points and run away into the wind. But moving away from that, I wanted to speak on like Gary Neville, and he was jumping on his high horse again.
The highest of horses.
Oh, bro, he's just terrible, man. He's just getting there, talking with his squeaky Mac accent. shut up, Gary. Idiot. Talking about it's about the Super League. In my opinion, I don't think it was anything to do with the Super League. And also, having said that, I think Sky caused this to erupt the way it did.
Yeah.
Because had they not put so much fuel onto what was already a exposed flame, it wouldn't get this big. Like, okay, cool. You don't want the Super League. And the only reason you're against the Super League is because the big teams have said, no, you're not getting any slice of this pie.
Yeah, it was to protect their own self-interest at the end of the day.
Yeah, literally. And that's why they're really going like mad at it. And because they're not getting any millions or any billions from their no contracts for you, buddy. So they're really like really vexed. And they've put Gary Neville in front to be their spokesman. And it could land him in trouble, innit? Because, you know, I think we said in the group chat, he made a comment about how Liverpool... FFG wanted a third of the players. It might have been a slip of tongue, it might have been a mistake, but that these Americans don't play with all them kind of things. That's the defamation of character, isn't it? Like, no, we didn't do that. You're lying. You're just lying on telly to millions of people for no reason. Get your lawyers, buddy. Do you know what I'm saying? So, Gary Neville getting on his high horse when he has a team that's owned by a billionaire. 40% of that is owned by a billionaire. He's buying all these accommodations in and around Salford. He's talking this, he's talking that. Just shut up, mate. Just absolutely shut up, bruv.
We know the funniest thing about it, you know what I mean? I'm sorry to Jack Tells. It's like, you are part owner of a football club that is literally breaking every single mode of protocol within the League Two. You know what I mean? I mean, how much did they pay Adam Rooney again?
Well, how much was it? Was it in the tens of thousands?
It was a lot of money, and it's not like he was a poor club. He was playing at, you know, quite a high level. He was at Aberdeen, you know what I mean?
Yeah, he was at Aberdeen, and he increased his wage to go play in League One. That's absolutely ridiculous, actually. So, yeah, he has no right to come onto television and saying that these owners are sucking the blood out of English football. They're not. They've been given an open door to come into English football and make money out of it, to be fair. So this has already been before you, mate. I don't think he was saying much when he was getting his wages paid every week by the Glazers, the people that he so-called hate. I didn't hear him talk out then. Not too sure why he's doing it now. So, yeah, it's too much self-interest, too much hypocrisy in this. I don't think anybody, apart from Touchline Frackers, has given a fair view on it, the pros and the cons of it. So, for me... Obviously, the game's been cancelled, but it's bigger than that. It's bigger because you've gone there and you've injured, a police officer or something like that. Or security. But somebody had a fat gash on his face. So
I think it was like a steward, I think, or like a
steward. It's terrible, man. It's terrible. I'm just rambling. But before, like, football is big, innit? It's a big thing to you and I, but it's not that big in a grand scheme of things. You know what I'm saying? Like, when we talk, if we talk about the whole world and, like, shit's happening in India, shit's happening in St. Vincent, like, these are major issues, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Not football. Like this, you said, like, hate or love it, but we've turned into, like, glorified consumers, innit? Hate or love it, we are, because we're going to go out there, we're going to get a £100 jersey. We're gonna go to the stadium, have a few beverages. We're gonna, you know what I'm saying. So at the end of the day, it's not really life or death, is it? And people are making it life or death, especially fucking Gary Neville, who's always talking about like six veins coming out of his forehead, bro. He gets on my nerves, flipping rat.
Being a football fan is no different to being a football fan is literally no different to people who go bird watching. They're both the same recreational activities at the end of the day.
Or train spotting.
No. Transport, yeah. yeah, it's weird because, I mean, you guys made some really good points on the main part as well, that the processing, I think it does have to happen. Popatos are definitely not to the levels that we saw it on Sunday. I think we can all agree that things got a little bit out of hand, especially when you're chucking flares, you know, kind of Sky Sports cameras and, you know, damaging property, whatnot. It's not the way to do it, but... The original notion of the process is good. They need to get their voice heard and they need to do it on the grandest of stages, really. Saying that, though, the best way to hurt people and get people to really take notice is to hurt their pockets. So for Manchester United fans, like you said, the main part, it's stop buying the home kit. Why is there a home kit every single season? Remember the days when there was a home kit every 2 years? What happened to that? That means something a little bit more. It's not paying for Sky Sports. It's watching stuff illegally with a VPN, by the way. Do use a VPN, for God's sake. Use a VPN. I'm not condoning illegal streaming, but to say, if you're going to do it, use a VPN in it. It's not watching everything on Amazon. It's not watching it on BT Sports. It's becoming a little bit isolated from the game. But the fact that we're rampant consumers and we live in a society that is built on rampant consumerism, you're not going to be able to do it properly. So I do understand why people kind of got to its boiling point, but I digress. Pete, I'm going to bring you on the conversation here. I'm very surprised that we've managed to fill 15 minutes already, so this is going very well. I know you want to talk a little bit about FSG and FSG ownership, so I'm going to let you take the floor here. Why you think that it's better to, you know, it's better the devil you know than the devil you don't in terms of the ownership for Liverpool Football Club.
Yeah, in terms of, like, I don't think I've come on this pod and kind of given my views on FSG before, but, like, FSG, what they've done for Liverpool is amazing. So they've basically taken us from nearly being bankrupt and then making us, again, like a sleeping giant and making us, again, like, win the biggest trophies in terms of Champions League, Premier League, getting Klopp is probably their best thing they've ever done, because... You get someone like Klopp, and it's in the same vein as like a Ferguson or like a Wenger, and he, again, he's so smart. He knows how to run a club. He knows how to get us the trophies.
It changes the culture. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like it brings that new energy out of everyone. You know, brought the energy out of the fans. You know, the dinner ladies at Melwood. What was it, Melwood? I've hoped they moved to Kirby as well. But yeah, I completely get what you mean.
Yeah, facts. I think that's the biggest. Yeah, that's their probably their biggest coup that they've got, like in terms of how they dealt with Liverpool, but. Like, obviously, we're starting to see, like, fans kind of, like, not revolt against FSG, but there's kind of, like, a mixed feelings of, like, a lot of fans are saying FSG out, or FSG are doing this wrong, or FSG are doing that wrong. And just in terms of, like, they've definitely made some mistakes. So, they've made some mistakes in terms of the ticket pricing. That was horrible. They tried to
agreed.
Put it all the way up, you know what I'm saying? You can't really do that. In terms of, again, like, the, so the staff, they tried to furlough the staff. And obviously the Super League, again, obviously whether you have thoughts on the Super League or not, but the way it was dealt with, even if you do agree with it, was kind of wrong, obviously, rolling it out 11 p.m. in the night. You know what I'm saying? Hopefully no one sees this. You know what I'm saying? A quick letter, some bloody whatever website that was like.
That website. I'm glad you brought up the website. I think we genuinely need to do a Patreon episode where we evaluate the Super League website if it's still available.
It was awful. It's them websites that it's like, oh, create a free website and then we'll give you like a month free. They have like bloody Wix website. Like, the website was just horrible. So yeah, the way they dealt with the Super League was horrible. But in terms of FSG, they run it so they don't take money out. They don't take dividends out like Man United owners. But they also don't pump money in like Roman. Like, they run it like how a normal owner should really run it. You know what I'm saying? It's a middle ground in between being like, not thieves, like the way Man United, or I won't call them thieves, but the way they're just taking dividends out, and then someone like Roman companies own money. Like, they run a club how you should run a club, right? So they run it in terms of being sustainable, self-sustainable, getting our revenues up, using our revenue to whatever, buy players, you know what I'm saying, put money into the club that way. So if you sell a player, you buy a player. But where fans have kind of like, they've seen like over the road in London, they've seen over the road in Manchester, he caught like a billionaire owner who's now come in and kind of just, it doesn't really matter what the club is earning. Obviously, we'll try and maximise that, but whatever the club's earning, I'm still going to put my own money and put that into the club. And I just feel like that is not like, it's kind of like a dream in terms of what Roman's done for Chelsea. Like, he's just using his own money, but it's not really like self-sustainable as well. Because when Roman goes, or if he tries to sell the club one day, you know what I'm saying? Like, who knows if they'll still have money to buy players left, right, and centre. Whereas, like, if FSG were to go, we still have this self-sustainable model where we've got revenue coming in, we've got the night contract up. Like, so, yeah. So, just in terms of fans, just I think you should kind of, like, not look over the road in Man City and Chelsea and think, oh, that's how every club should be owned. Because that's not sustainable. You know what I'm saying? Not everyone can get a billionaire owner. You know, if you do, fair enough. But if you don't, like, this is the way to run a club. And then again, it might not always go well. Because if you look at Fulham, they've got a billionaire owner who also owns AEW, is a wrestling company, and he's rich, he's stinking rich. But like Fulham are not—they're not a powerhouse now just because they've got a billionaire owner. You know what I'm saying? They didn't do it.
Look what they did the season they came up before, when they bought a shed load of players and they were terrible.
About £100 million worth of players, and they sacked their manager before.
And then even if you look closer to home, look at Everton. Everton got money in. They got players like Iwobi, they got players like Walcott, they got players like Bernard, they just got bare random players. Like, it's not just
seventh highest operating loss as well in history.
Jesus. Like, Everton have got money. Like, don't leave what Everton have actually got money, but again, they haven't got people in charge, the right people in charge in terms of footballing wise and recruitment wise to go out and get the best talent like we do. You know what I'm saying? So I just think we just have to be careful. Like, if you can, obviously, if you can get an owner who cares about football and can put money in, fair enough. But that's so hard. Like, I mean, that's so, so rare, like, honestly, because most people, football's like a second, most billionaires, football's like a second thing to them or a third thing to them. It's not their love, you know what I'm saying? So, like, just be careful what you wish for, because you look at Fulham, look at Everton, and, you know what I'm saying, it's not all rosy there just because they've got billionaire owners. Like, FSG, yeah, they've made some mistakes, but they've also taken us to the summit, and you just, yeah, I think we should be careful, really, what you wish for.
Completely agree. I think one of the better examples to look at, too, is kind of, you look at Inter Milan. You know, Inter Milan are in a really good position of power. They've got players on a lot of money. But their financial situation at the moment, because their parent club, is in massive financial straits. I mean, they owned the winners of the Chinese Super League, didn't they? And then they had to essentially make that club defunct. That club who won the Chinese Super League last season no longer exists because the operating costs were far too high. So that's left it. So that now leaves Inter Milan in a position where they need to sell a few of their players, literally the season after ending Juventus' streak, like they were the fucking Italian Undertaker. Say what you will about this podcast, we will find a way to pull wrestling references every single week. and now they're going to be a position.
There's not loads of billionaire owners out. Like, who the hell do you guys think? So, okay, we've gone to a protest. That's so cool. Like, Man United fans went on a protest, calm. Like, I understand you want change, whatever, but Glazers are not just going to go and sell the club at a loss for another man to come in. Like, who are you going to find to buy it? You need to find owners. You know what I'm saying? You need to find, like, it's not as easy just sell it and give it to someone. You know what I'm saying? Like, the right people need to come in, the right people that need to care about the club, you know what I'm saying, they need to come in. So, yeah, it's not as easy as just sell the club and boom.
It has to be either, you know, an owner or an ownership consortium that kind of has some form of roots in I say roots in the city, needs to have an identity that mirrors the club it's buying. You know what I mean? Especially if you're going to be buying a club like Liverpool, you need to understand what you're getting into. You know, you need to understand the ethos of the fan base, you know, the way the club works, because it really is. It is like a family club, as weird as it sounds. Big, massive global enterprise, like Liverpool Football Club, at the end of the day, kind of still is like a family club. You know, they had the slogan, "This means more." And for Liverpool, it really does. There's a lot of things in this football club where if you win at this football club, it means more than it would at other football clubs. It's just facts. You know what I mean? Look at the Champions League win.
Just a question for you guys. Like, so if we do, say we did get an oil billionaire owner in, doesn't that sort of go against the Liverpool like morality? And how can we say this means more when we just get someone like an old guy to come in and
that's the, and that's the thing, bro. And that, you know what I'm saying? Like, and that's how it is. Like, that's how it doesn't make sense in bringing someone in who's just gonna, you know, like you say, if you just dash money here, dash money there, dash. Like, then, the soul's out of it. Like, there's no soul in it. Do you get what I'm saying? And Liverpool's
this is the thing as well. I think, do you want people to come and buy in because you think it's for the good of the club? Or do you want people to come in and, you know, buy so you can, you know, spend a lot of money, swing your dick around and say, we've got the best players in the world, we can buy whoever we want?
I
want
to go to the that's
what it is.
I've got Mbappe, yeah.
That's all. Like, the thing is, people are not being like genuine and sincere. They're talking about morality and they want people on the, they want fans on the board. No, you don't. You just want to come on the internet and laugh at other people. We've got this and we've got that. Let's be frank. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah. We just want to buy the best players. But that comes at a cost. So these people are going to do whatever they want to do because they're giving you what they want. So again, think about it carefully. What do you actually want? What do you actually want from an owner?
And it made me laugh when people were getting on Twitter saying that, you know, I wouldn't mind the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia. A regime that has murdered people. You know what I mean? Like, this is not an allegedly thing they did.
Like,
they would be happy if they brought Liverpool Football Club. I'm thinking, hang on a minute. No, that definitely goes against everything that Liverpool stands for. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Last season we got what's his name? The former chief exec that we had.
Peter Moore,
who's a Liverpoolian. And under his tutelage, under his reign, if he knew it or didn't, they tried to do the furlough scheme. I don't know if he knew, but he said he didn't know, but do you know what I'm saying? And this is someone that is from Liverpool anyway. So at the end of the day, a business is gonna do what a business has to do to make money. This is what people need to realise. Businesses do what they have to do to make money. Investors do what investors should do. Like, which I was saying in a group chat, that just because they've done this and have been a fam, they're investors. They need to make a profit. That's just the bottom line, isn't it? That's just the bottom line of it. They have shareholders that they need to appease. They have people that they need to appease, isn't it? If you think that they don't believe it, they don't take the fans, they take the fans for granted, show them then. Don't buy stuff, because we were queuing for the Nike shirts. Like I said, we was doing all of this for that. And, oh my God, we're being linked with Mbappe. This is what we lack. So at the end of the day, are you going to turn a blind eye to the moral aspect of it? I think you will, because you're going to swing your dick about and saying, like, we're the best team and this, that, and the third. Trust me, Man City fans don't give a shit about what their man are doing back.
That's my problem, though. It's like, if you don't care, then cool. Like, admit that. That's what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you don't care, that's so cool. Like, the way Man City run their thing, they got all Guardiola's guys, they got him, like I'm saying, they run it, they got a new training complex, whatever, like, they're doing good work, but...
Which is beautiful, by the way.
Yeah, they're actually doing really good work there over there, like, they're not just having the football, they're actually building, like, a kind of dynasty and whatever, but you can't want that and also be like, oh, spirit of Shankly, this Liverpool means more, this, that, like, it's one or the other, like, you choose your side, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's not, why did we follow this player and that player, and but also, I want...
Because this is the thing, like, as well, I think people forget that. This is the thing as well. I think people forget that. Look at the new training ground.
Yeah.
That's all come from kind of like the self-sustaining model. Again, the stadium expansion, that came from, you know, FSG loaning their own money to the club, which they will get the money back over an increment of time. And you look at the developments that they've done in terms of, you know, around Anfield, around, we were the training ground. It's actually quite staggering, really, from what it once was. But yeah, I completely agree with you guys. In all fairness, I do get why people kind of have their relevant grievances against FSG in some of the things that have happened, like we have this, we have discussed. The ticket prices, 100%, I think we can all agree, it's a bit of an outlandish thing to do, and goes against, you know, football should be affordable. For some reason in this country it's not, and that's a massive shame. But that's a collective football problem. That just is what it is, and you know that requires all the clubs getting involved to drive down ticket prices and make it affordable for everyone really to enjoy the game. But I can see, you know, why the organisations such as Spirit Shankly, etc., had these relevant grievances with the club, and why they want a bit more say, and they want to be, and they want these decisions ran past them, because, you know, like we said, when it's involving Liverpool, it is like a family club. It does need that impact to say, are we doing this right, or is this correct in what we're doing? Because if they have these little things at the early inception, they wouldn't have these problems. So I completely agree with it, and, you know, hopefully we'll find out a little bit more how that meeting with Spirit of Shankly and Billy Hogan went later on in the week. From one thing to another, this weekend we did have the social media blackout from the players and a lot of the football clubs. I talked about this a little bit earlier on in the Daily Fracas. So the Daily Fracas, if you are listening on audio streams, is a little thing we're doing at the moment. It will be a daily feature where we kind of condense all the latest Liverpool news into little 5-10 minute increments. And we'll be doing that on a daily basis. So please do check that out. We'll be doing that over on YouTube. So yeah, that is the Touchline Fracas YouTube page. I just wanted to get your guys' thoughts on the social media blackout, and if you generally think it was worth all the effort, in all honesty. I mean, I've been on the... let's be real. Us as a network, we didn't really partake in it because we didn't see what the actual end goal of it was. If it was to raise awareness, which I think awareness can only do so much, and we've been raising awareness for how long now? We've been raising awareness for when I was a kid. It's done nothing. So I want to know from you guys, what's the next step? What is the actual next step that we do here?
Yeah. If you can see my face right now, like, I'm just so not amused. I'm just so amused. Like,
no, I'm so over it. Credit Karma has always been there to help you make better financial decisions. And now they want to help you even more. With a Credit Karma Money Spend account, you can be rewarded for good money habits. Credit Karma Money is a brand new checking account where you can win cash reimbursements for making purchases. Just pay with your debit card, and if you win, you'll be notified on the spot, and your Instant Karma cash will be added back to your spend account. Open your FDIC-insured spend account for free. There's no minimum balance requirements, no overdraft fees, and free withdrawals from a network of over 50,000 ATMs. And when you make a purchase between June 8th and June 30th, you'll automatically be entered to win $1 million. Right now, visit creditkarma.com/winmoney to open your free account and start winning instant karma. Go to creditkarma.com/winmoney to sign up for free and start winning. That's creditkarma.com/winmoney. Instant Karma is sponsored by Credit Karma. No purchase necessary. Exclusions and terms apply. See rules. Banking services provided by MVB Bank Incorporated. Member FDIC. Maximum balance and transfer limits apply.
Like, it's just one of them things again. Like, oh, we take the knee. Okay, cool. Against racism, fighting against racism, cool. Like, it's just another token gesture. Again, like, it doesn't mean anything. Because one person had this idea, and then now everyone's jumping on it. Most of them companies, yeah, because Sky Sports jumped on it, I'm sure, like, BBC said, oh, bloody hell, Sky's on there, we need to go on there. And then TalkSport said, I need to go on there. And, you know what I'm saying? Because if one of them didn't do it, they look bad, you know what I'm saying? So it's another token gesture. Like, show us, does it actually mean anything? You know what I'm saying? Actually do something, like Instagram, kind of Instagram and Twitter, get these people that are being racist and find a way for them to be held accountable, you know what I'm saying? Maybe, I don't know, like, I don't have all the answers, don't get me wrong, but, you know what I'm saying? Just find a way to hold these people accountable and actually implement change, you know what I'm saying? These play again, it starts from football as well. The players that are being racist, Glenn Kamara, he got racial abuse. The guy got a 10-game ban. It's just like, bro, like, and then Kamara got a 3-game ban. It's just like, and then it's just like, bro, like, I'm tired of it. Like, show some rule change. You know what I'm saying? Because when man were gonna play in the Super League, you're just gonna ban man for the whole life. My whole life, never ever playing in the Premier League, never playing Champions League, never playing international. So that means you can actually do something if you really want to. You know what I'm saying? You can really do something if you really, really want to. So giving a man a 10-game ban, like, you don't really care, to be honest. So when you're doing these stuff like
that... They're still getting paid.
Pardon?
They're still getting paid when they get the ban. Yeah. You know what I mean?
I'm saying, so it's just, it's ridiculous. Like, show some real change. Like, again, when these protests happened, Gary Neville, all these, it was peaceful. These men were like, yeah, we need this, we need that, blah, blah. Like, do you know what I'm saying? Like, everyone was like, on Twitter, everyone was applauding the protest. Like, so you guys really, really care about this Glazers so much more than you care about this racism thing. You know what I'm saying? Like, because when men were protesting racism, it was too far. It was, all right, let me not even talk in it. If I speak, I'll be in trouble. So, Ellis, go on.
No, the sentiments are the same over here, man. The aggressiveness of the Super League, and to take down the Super League, you had prime ministers talking and that. Prime ministers were looking to go out to stop a breakaway.
How cheeky, bro. What?
Not cheeky, innit?
These people are like, yeah, we're going to draw up some legislation overnight. I'm thinking, yeah, I can't have it. Yeah, what?
Yeah. Whoa, wait, hold on. So, like, you can allow some random young kids to, like, call big professional footballers monkeys and all of that on the internet, but nobody bats an eyelid, and when footballers are taking a knee because of that, it's always a bit of like a problem. You've got fans booing when they allow fans in for that quick period. Millwall, I'm looking at you. You were booing players for taking a knee about racism. So it shows you where, like, they don't care. Nobody cares. That's why, to be fair, I didn't really notice that, like, the social media blackout. Like, oh, I don't really care, because like a few clubs just said they're not going to post. All right, that's your business, isn't it? What's that going to do for me? Like, because tomorrow morning somebody's going to call me an N-word or something anyway. So the media blackout is not really going to do much. So yeah, I'm with PR. Like, it doesn't really bother me as what I think away, for instance, with Glenn Kamara issue and the Slavia Prague player getting 10 matches, things like that, you need to ban him for like a year. For a year. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, because you can really feel it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Because if you was to do that on road, like out of the football circle, you can go
get banned.
That, no? Yeah, you get banned. But like, if I was to report something, someone can get arrested for that. And bam, that's
yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
This is the thing, you know. So you know how I always say, a football club is no different to a normal working environment. If you were to do that in a normal working environment, you're losing your job.
Yeah.
ASAP. That day. That day, bro.
Yeah.
Do investigation and that day you lose your job. So I think these kind of things should still be brought into football. If you're finding football clubs, what, 10 grand because their fans said something racist. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm saying it doesn't make no sense. Like, Rio Ferdinand got banned for 8 months because he missed a drug test.
Jesus.
For 8 months, bro, he missed.
And do you think he'll ever do that again? He will never ever do that again. He will make sure he's there.
You see what I'm saying? So that should be the same effort that we should put into racism. Racism is not something that you just dash away from. This is a big issue. Same as what's it called? Discrimination of anything, any gender, creed, anything. It's a big issue. You can't just come into the world and think that it's all right to just cuss man for no reason, just because man's playing football. It doesn't make sense, man. And yeah, and Peter, again, you made a good point about the social media, Instagram and Twitter, like, active. They're not really doing much actively to do it. They can. I'm very, very sure they can, because if we was to put a post up of a football game, a goal that we liked, you know what I'm saying, they will take that down.
So,
do you know what I'm saying? They will delete your account.
You will get your account suspended for posting. So here's one for you: the Stephen A. Smith memes reaction page that just does all the Stephen A. Smith memes got suspended for copyright violation.
That's what I'm saying.
But you're allowing people to come on the internet, call other football fans discriminatory terms against, you know, their race, gender, or their religion. And you allow them to target the players as well.
It's crazy.
Can someone please make it make sense?
It doesn't make sense, bro. And there's a way, and that's why all of these things is like, it's all air. It's air, man. Taking a knee, Kick It Out. How long have we had Kick It Out for the last, 20 years? We've had Kick It Out for bare long, and it's still here. What are we doing? When I was at school,
I'm 29, but still, we had like a Kick It Out thing for like our football team. I was like 13, 14 at the time, so that's how long it's been going on for. And like I said earlier on, I mean, like, I remember when I was playing five-a-side before, and this is just like a normal five-a-side. You know what I mean? Not even professional level. We're playing against this one team, and this guy like studied me, and he called me, you know, I'm not gonna say the word, but it was a derogatory term for people of Indian origin. I'm like, right, it's a five-a-side game, you know. You need to calm down a little bit. And if you are to do that to anyone, you are, and I'm gonna say it now, if you are to say anything about someone's, you know, skin color, their gender, their sexual orientation, their religion, you're scum of the earth, really. Let's be real. You know what I mean? You are the lowest of the low.
If you can go that way to just insult someone because of, I don't know, you're upset because he scored a goal against you, innit? Bro, are you upset at him? You're upset at your player, fam. Are you upset at my man? My man's just doing his job. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, I just feel like they don't take racism seriously. It's not something that they care about. Everything is just a gimmick. It's just this. Your fam, from time when you got the Sun doing it, I don't want to hear nothing about it, bro.
Allow me, fam. I was like, bro, you're having a laugh. Is this what we're doing? And then they're doing, and then they're doing stuff today where they're targeting Bukayo Saka. It's like,
allow me.
So you've not learned. So you've not learned anything. That's nice to know.
Obviously,
we were talking about player suspensions there. I remember Kiko Casilla when he called Jonathan Lecco very nasty term. I believe he only got 8-game suspension, and he still plays for Leeds. And Lecco never got any form of apology from Leeds Football Club either, which actually makes the thing monumentally worse.
But even like Suarez, obviously at that time, was young, was probably defending him. But when you think and sit down and think about it, bro, you only got 8 games, huh? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, John Terry, again, like you said, a Leeds keeper. The Leeds keeper's the worst because he's still playing. He's playing in the Premier League. Yeah, it's ridiculous, man. It don't really matter too tough to them.
Don't get us wrong. I don't know if I see it for you guys. Like, it's a good thing, obviously, like, in terms of, like, what they're trying to do. But we need to see change. And we need to see something come of it. You know what I'm saying? Like, so if it's just something, a token action, then we don't really care. But if it leads to change and people start, things start happening because of it, that's when it's like cool. But like for now, it's just a token gesture. So that's the main thing.
But Pete, you say that it's a good gesture, but that for me personally, because we've always seen a different variation of it, it just doesn't really resonate with me. Do you know what I'm saying? It's not like,
yes, what I mean by that, I guess obviously, so like the clubs and that, they weren't too in lineups. So when I went on Twitter on Sunday, looking for a lineup, I really couldn't find one unless I looked for certain journalists. So I'm just saying, if one or two people can be like, wait, where's Liverpool? Why are they posted? Oh, let me go into the thing. Oh, I've seen that. Let me, you know what I'm saying? So if it can change one or two people's minds from, you know what I'm saying, I'm not saying that will, but again, it's a good gesture, but obviously we need to see change from it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had a conversation with this with my dad the other day, where I was like, it's kind of, you know, to kind of get on the side of, I guess, young kids, teenagers and stuff. But then I was like to him, you are aware that most people are doing this when you see them, you know, when they, a man was arrested. It's like in the 40s and 50s. And I was like, there's only so much you can really do at the end of the day. If you're trying to get kids for the next generation, that's fine. But there are some people in this world whose opinions you just can't really change, really. And they just need to be eradicated from football. And unfortunately, I just don't see it happening, which is a shame. Let's move on to a little bit of a more upbeat topic, and I'm very glad we had that conversation. I'm very proud of us of having that conversation as well. Came out today that there is a gentleman's agreement I always like that terminology, a gentleman's agreement. You know, a lovely handshake involved. All parties are very happy. There's a gentleman's agreement that Jadon Sancho and Borussia Dortmund can part ways this summer if a nice offer comes in. A nice offer being around 70 million great British pounds. We all know that one of the people who are a big fan, a big admirer of Jadon Sancho is Jurgen Klopp. We know one of the people who tried to sign him from Manchester City when he wanted to leave all those years ago was Mr. Michael Edwards. And we know that a club that are in need of a nice versatile attacker this summer, because two of their main goal-scoring options are after the African Cup of Nations in the winter, and one of them might be representing his country at the Olympics in the summer, is Liverpool Football Club. So, I'll put it to you guys. Could we see Jadon Sancho in a Liverpool, in a lovely, if you've seen the nice leaked images as well, a lovely Liverpool home shirt next season? What do you think of that then, guys?
Yeah, it's not in the realms of, it's not out of the realms of possibility. I feel if Liverpool have any sense, they should do. How much did you say, Chris? 70 million?
Let's say 70 million, but let's say, you know, we're all businessmen. Like we were discussing earlier, we're all businessmen here. Borussia Dortmund have some interest in some of our players. Let's say we give them an initial 50 million add-ons and we send name out of a hat, Naby Keita, that was quick, in the opposite direction.
I find it interesting.
Yeah, so,
yeah, do you see that link with Chamberlain?
Yeah, I saw that as well. I think they were interested in Divock as well, Divock Origi. A player like Minamino suits them as well. So there is options for that player plus cash deal, and I think that'd probably be the best thing, because everyone wins there. We give you a player, we give you money, we get that player, set player off our wage bill. I think it makes sense because he's a good young talent coming through. He's about to burst through the scenes. He's I criminally underrated him, and I think he's being criminally underrated in these shores just because we can't see him. We don't watch him week in, week out, but what he's doing over in Germany, speaks high volumes, and he's been doing it since he was 17. So there's a player there that I'm sure Klopp would like to work with and make him the next big thing. And he has all the tools, to be fair. I think it'll make sense for Liverpool, man. It's just one of those players that we do need. We don't have any creativity from the wide. We don't have like any Bar Mane, any good one-on-one players. I think he'll fit into our team however we're going to play. If we're going to play a 4-2-3-1 or 4-3-3, 4-4-2, whatever you want to do, I think he's just that type of talent. He looks an intelligent footballer as well, because to understand intricate things at this top level, especially Champions League, you need to have a bit of intelligence. He's got that. He has pace and abundance. He's got great skill. So, yeah, he is a signing that we should be looking to do, man.
Yeah. Peter, I'll bring you in. You know, Sancho, the crowning jewel, I'd say, of kind of Dortmund's young player project, of what they've done the past few years. I understand if people do want to say Erling, but, you know, Sancho costs, like, what, about 10 million quid, and they're going to flip him for, you know, God knows how much this summer. But you look at the kind of player that he is, you know, like Elle said, he's really clever. His technical ability is out of this world. He's also creative. He's creative too. And the biggest thing for me is when he isolates his man, he gets in those one-on-one situations. I can't think of many better players in world football that will skin his man alive. That seems like the core and the basis of a player that Liverpool definitely need, and there's someone that Jurgen Klopp can sit there and go, oh yeah, I can work with this player and make him a world beater even more.
Yeah, for sure. I think Sancho's ability is amazing, especially at his young age. What he's doing, like, he's... It's funny because I was speaking about to my friend about Sancho, and he was like, Sancho's not had a good season though, has he? And I was like, no, what are you talking about? Like, I think people kind of got mixed up because he had a slow start. He was kind of injured, but I think he's got 12 goals, 18 assists in all competitions. Like, if that's a bad season for a 21-year-old, like, what? Like, you know what I'm saying? he's ripping it up in Bundesliga. And just, obviously, we know Bundesliga is not the same quality as the Premier League, but he's still doing it in Champions League. And he's still hitting those numbers. So, Sancho's a top quality player. But, yeah, like Chris was saying, I think we really, really miss that 1v1 type player in terms of just being able to isolate their man 1v1 in like a corner or like, do you know what I'm saying? And just be able to go past the man with ease. Like, I think we've got a lot of players that can do it, but with pace. And that, like, that's all fine. But if the other fullback is the same, he's as fast as you, then you're not really going to get past him. And I feel like Mane and Salah, they do, obviously, Mane's probably a bit better if he's dribbling, but they can get past their fullbacks with pace. But we really lack that player who can get past their opposition with skill. And I feel like Sancho can do that. Sancho's not as quick as Mane and Salah, but he's just got skills for days. He's got tech for days. So he could, like there was one video we saw this weekend where he looked like an old man, to be fair. He did look like an old man. Sancho just started to give him one little shimmy and the guy was tumbling down. Like, you don't really see that with our players. Like, and Sancho, he's just got this, he's got this ability to kind of, I think because we probably grew up playing cage football, his ability to go past the man is just, it's amazing. But once ago, I think people really underrate him and don't really know about his playmaking. So his playmaking is unreal. Like, he's one of the attackers that when he gets in the right positions and when he goes forward, he always makes the right pass or always makes the right shot. He never gets it wrong. Like, barely gets it wrong. So he always finds a man that's free. So if he's in the box, he has this kind of like composure where it's like he doesn't get flustered. He never really gets flustered in the box. He always finds his man. That's why he always gets like 18 to 20 assists every season. You know what I'm saying? So I think we miss that ability, especially with like Firmino kind of dropping and not being the same Bobby. Like, we need a playmaker like a Sancho, even like a Rafinha. Obviously, he's probably not to the same level as a Sancho, but yeah, I think we could definitely do with Sancho. But I think that the transfer is complicated. That's what I would say. So in terms of, I feel like there's a lot of stuff that has to go our way in terms of selling players, maybe them being interested in one of our players to bring in, or in terms of maybe selling one of the front three. So I just think the central transfer is a bit complicated, but hopefully maybe we can get it done. I'm not sure if maybe we can get rid of like a... Ideally, I would want to get rid of like a Firmino, maybe sell him to Atletico for like 40 million, 45, and then get Sancho in. It's probably not likely, but that's ideally what I would want to happen. But if we get Sancho in without selling one of the front three, then beautiful. Perfect.
Yeah, it would be chef's kiss, wouldn't it, really, at the end of the day?
Yeah. Sorry, Chris, before you carry on. I don't think we have to sell one of the front three, to be fair. I believe that this market, we probably could get a bit more value for some of the players that we are not necessarily used. So, like we were talking before the pod, Harry Wilson, you say Yeojo, your Shaqs. You sell three of them, you probably muscle up 20 to 30 mil for three of them. You know what I'm saying?
What? Was that 5 million each?
Well, that's just how it is, man. But that's how I'm not going to lie to you.
Say that again. So, who are we selling?
Ojo, so, Wilson, Shaq. Who else?
Yeah, those three.
20
for 30 mil?
Mil.
No, 20 mil or 30 mil?
He said 20.
20 and 30.
Ah. Oof.
Hang on a minute.
Yeah, I want at least 15 mil for Harry.
You're not getting 15 mil. That's the thing. You're not 15. Getting that.
I reckon you get 12 for Harry Wilson.
Okay.
You get about 5 million for Ojo.
Mm-hmm.
And Shaqiri, I have no...
8 million. I think 7 to 8 million.
Rob, you get another 5 million.
All right, let's say 8 million. That's 25. That's 25. That's 25 mil.
Yeah, see? Between 20 and 30 mil for them three, bro. That's 25 mil for 70. Liverpool should have another like 35 somewhere hiding, bro.
I think the money comes in, Minamino's, your Ox, Origi. I think those are the ones you really got to look at to kind of...
Yeah. That's why I think we won't have to sell one of the front three unless they want to go. Unless, like, the offer's nuts.
So this is why I think when I was talking about swap deals at some point last week, and I've kind of just been talking about it kind of on and off recently. With the way the football is at the moment, I think you're going to see a lot more of these kind of transactions go through just in terms of clever accounting. So you look at... the prime example for this for me is, so let's say on more of a reachable scale, when Manchester City brought Joao Cancelo, so they paid £30 million for him, and then Danilo went in the opposite direction. So the total transfer was worth about £60 million. all in. So I think you could probably do something very similar where you say, okay, we're giving Dortmund 50 million, a couple more in add-ons, which brings us to 60, and then we're going to give them Naby Keita in player exchange, who we value at around 35 million. So the transfer all in face value, is a £95 million transfer. Then Dortmund can take that back to their fans and say, look, we've got £95 million worth of assets for this one player. So that's how they can kind of pallet it. The other kind of transfers I do see kind of happening this summer is the... So this was the weirdest transfer last year. I don't know if you guys remember. The Pjanic and Arta kind of exchange, where they both written off as fees exchanged, which that made no sense whatsoever for a Barcelona point of view. I mean, Pjanic is like, what, 31? And Arta is like 23 and like fairly decent. And that basically sums it up why they're in the situation they're in at the moment, doesn't it? So I think you do see a lot more of those. I think you see a lot more of those transfers going on this year. And I think that's why Sancho can definitely happen. And mate, if it does,
I think one
I'll be doing the pod shirtless. You know what I mean?
Yeah, one thing we might be ignoring is Man United. So in terms of, obviously, Man United are probably going to come back in for him. So and Dortmund wasn't, 120 million last year, which is mad, sort of put it down to 70 million. So obviously, if Man United come in for him, I don't know where he wants to go. I don't know where his head's at. Hopefully, it's still us. And but I think either Rafinha or Sancho, one's going to go to Man United, one's going to go to Liverpool. That's what I think was going to happen.
I think it was Fahy who said that Rafinha makes a bit more sense for Manchester United at this point. Just I think they've got some other places they want to strengthen elsewhere, but it's going to be interesting, man. I'm hoping that, you know, we've got a bit more arguments there for Sancho, for him to come to Liverpool, and if it does happen, you know, massive winners here. But before we do kind of before we do sign off, I thought it'd be pretty good to kind of just see a little bit of a summer shortlist. You know, what kind of players do you think Liverpool should be targeting this summer off the back of what we discussed? So we can kind of box off centre back, I think. You know, Konate, that seems to be a done deal at this point. Back will probably end up being coming in on a permanent fee as well. So apart from centre back, what areas do you think? And if you've got any specific players to hand, even better. Pete, I'll start with you first. What areas and what players should Liverpool be targeting specifically this summer?
Okay, so we covered off the another attacker in terms of another. I think we should get another wide man, obviously, to replace Sheck and put like a fire under Mane's whatever he's doing this year. But I think the other two places that I would go for is a number nine. I think a number nine is imperative this year in terms of finding a natural goal scorer who can play up top. And in situations where we need a goal, we can put him on. In situations like against Leeds, where we need 1-1, need like 10 minutes to go, we can put on a number nine and get a goal. I think that's very, very imperative that we get a number nine. And I listened to the pod last week. I think everyone should as well. But you guys were talking about Donny Malin, who I actually kind of like. I watched him a little bit, and I watched him in more detail the other day after you guys mentioned him. Watched more videos of him. He looks really lightning quick. He can play along across the front line, and he's a good finisher. He's a natural finisher. I think he's got maybe like 17 goals in the Dutch division this year. So he looks a really good talent. So he would fit in. Van Dijk can show him the ropes, and I like him. Maybe get him for 20-25 million. He fits the mold of FSG in terms of being a younger player who we can get for value later. I like him as well. I like Alexander Isaac as well. And Isaac looks a very good player. He's PMP. He looks mad, especially in that La Liga. His PMP is looking crazy. He looks good, man. He looks like a good player. I think he might be a bit more expensive than Malin, though, but he looks a good player. And the centre mid. So we need the centre mid to replace Gini. I wrote a piece on it for Touchline. You guys should check that out. A quick plug my centre mid piece. So I'd basically just done a replacements list for Gini Wijnaldum. Shameless plug. But yeah, so I would say hopefully.
It's not a shameless plug at all. It's on the bloody Touchline website. It's not shameless whatsoever.
But yeah, it's just for replacements on replacement Wijnaldum. But yeah, I would personally, I would probably go for Bruno, probably my first option, because I feel like he's a really good identical replacement to Ronaldo. But if you can't get him for maybe 40 million or more, less, then I would probably go for maybe an Aouar. I like Aouar because I like his player profile. I think he brings another dynamic to Liverpool's play in terms of playing centrally. And I think we've wanted this for years, in terms of Klopp has wanted to not just give our fullbacks the ball and let them like dictate the play. He wants to switch to a more centralised play, like with the likes of Thiago, Keita, even Chamberlain. Like, he wants to do this, but again, these players, you can't really trust them. Obviously not Thiago, but Keita, Chamberlain, they're not really stayed fit. So I think Klopp really does want to change this, but he's just been unfortunate with the players he's bought. So if you bring in someone like Aouar, we can do this because he's a playmaker from deep. He's able to find, he'll be able to find the front three, and I think he's a good player. So yeah, I'll go for a centre mid and a number nine and a right winger. I mean, those are imperatives.
Some solid choices there. Really, really looking forward to it. And if you guys are liking what Peter said there, of course, do check his piece out on the Wijnaldum replacements that he's available. We'll post a link under this on this pod when the tweet goes out. So do look out for that. And of course, if you are a Patreon member, and you're a Patreon member from last year as well, the world renowned, the world famous transfer game will be making its comeback to the Coppen Frackers Patreon page this summer. So yeah, you get to see your favourite Coppen contributors, see what they'll be doing, what they think their target areas are for the summer, and the various methods and players they let go to make these dreams happen, which is always a good laugh. So yeah, that's so if you are interested in that, do head over to www.patreon.com/. Go on.
For you two, so you guys, you like a couple strikers, like, but I don't really know much about them. There's these, obviously, I think you've got the workhorse guy and the other guy. I don't know, you guys mentioned him last week. I don't know. He's kind of big, like, profile.
Blavich.
Strong. Yeah, tell me about them too, because I'm sure there's been another listeners that don't know a lot about them too. So tell me what.
Els, I'll let you take the Vlahovic piece and I'll do the workhorse piece. Is that good?
Yeah, go on. I haven't really focused on him too tough, but what you showed me about him, he's more of a dominant number nine. Strong as a young player, does all his work centrally, which is something we actually do need, to be fair. I haven't watched him in detail, to be fair, but I do need to watch him more in detail. But for someone like that, it seems like his hold-up play will be good, just being one of those sort of strong number nines. Yeah, it'll be a different approach to what we've been used to for the past 3, 4, 5 years, do you know what I'm saying, where we've had that floating number, Firmino, a floating number nine. We haven't really had someone who's more of a central player, or in basketball, they like to call them postmen or something like that. I don't know. I'm a football fan, so hey.
Don't let Mariah catch you.
I know it is. <man. laughs> He's gonna end me. No, but yeah. That's him really. Like I said, my knowledge, because I've been mainly looking at Mike Maelin. Prefer mailing, to be fair. But yeah, when we get on to my turn, but yeah, go on, Chris, the floor is yours.
Can you keep filibustering, Els? I got some diagrams I want to pull up.
Hi, it's me again. No, yeah, so before Chris puts up his diagrams, the three, apart from centre backs, though, the players that I want are probably Sancho, Maelin, and Aouar. They're all young players, and they will add something different to Liverpool. Again, like Pete said, just to piggyback off of that, or why someone is a bit different, who likes to dribble, likes to get the ball, move it from A to B with his dribbling. He's not a workhorse like a Gini or a Henderson or Fab to a lesser extent, but he's someone that will work, but apart from that, he will do a lot of damage with the ball, you know what I'm saying, which is what we've been needing.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I've got my diagrams now, so I can pull them up on the screen. Where's the share screen button? There we go. Really proud of us for being able to get an hour where we're discussing no football being played, by the way. let me know if that comes up.
Okay.
There we go. So, So with Vlahovic, this is kind of his this is his touch map, and you can see a lot of the kind of where, look at the majority of where his shots come from, by the way. They're all on the edge of that kind of 12-yard box. So he's really strong in those specific areas. And all of his goals essentially come in from those from that area, realistically. And when we're talking about a player that we kind of need, you know, someone who can kind of pin people back, that's what he does the best, really, for me. There is another diagram I've got here. I've really come prepared with these diagrams, I've got to say. I'm quite happy with myself. And again, this is another reason. This is another reason for people to kind of watch on the YouTube as well.
Yeah, some good diagrams, man. How old is he, Chris?
He is 21, I believe. I'll double check. So for me, Peter, it reminds me a lot of. I think I said it on. Said it last week. It reminds me a lot. Yeah, he's 21. It reminds me a lot of Stefan Jovic. That's the same diagram, isn't it? Oh no, it's not. So this is kind of like his heat map within the box. So you can see a lot where, again, a lot of where his positions are kind of taking up. One of the things you can say that we've definitely missed this season is a guy who takes up these exact same positions. So for me, I think it'd be a really smart addition. Now, how much he costs, that's a completely different story in itself. But as you know, as you guys can see, and I wonder if all of you can see, if you are watching on YouTube, again, another reason to watch on YouTube, is these smart areas that he does take up. So yeah, for me, Pete, he's a bit of a crossover between the way that he plays Stefan Jovetic in his Fiorentina days initially, and in the physicality he has as well. It reminds me a lot of Mitrovic in the way he can kind of hold off players, keep the ball at his feet. So it's a really interesting option. And in regards to Weghorst, I'm a really big fan of him. I've watched him a lot for Wolfsburg. And he does a lot. He does a lot. He's deceptively quick. And again, he's a big lad. He's 6'6". He can pin opposition back. He's really good at pressing as well, which again for a Liverpool number 9 is something that you really need. And I believe he's per 90. This was from last season. Was 2 shots a game and 0.5 in terms of goals. And he's really area dominant as well. So I think in terms of that kind of profile of player that we need, whether if someone wants to kind of come off the bench like we discussed before, do 30 minutes and then start games in certain scenarios, those type of players I think are some people we probably should target. So with that all that being said, Pete, are you down for the Weghorst Vlahovic experiment?
Yeah, they both sound, so they're both, basically they're both box strikers, right? So they're both like,
yep.
Yeah, I'm saying they do the best work in the box, hold it up, and like an old school number 9. Really, so yeah, no, I'm down. We need that, man. We need that type of player. Like, I can't remember the last box striker we have, like, in terms of maybe like a Ricky Lambert or someone like that.
Yeah,
Benteke, Ricky Lambert. Like, so yeah, definitely, you definitely do need that player profile. So yeah, man, they sound good.
The only downside of Weghorst is he's 28 years old and about to turn 29. So I can already feel Mike shaking in the background as that doesn't fit his young player agenda. But that being said, Bundesliga this season, 20 goals and 7 assists.
Yeah, that proper, you know, that great. Because it's just like, when did this happen where it's like, guys who are like 27, 28, 29, 30 can't contribute anymore? Like, bro, like, you get them in for 1 or 2 years and they bang goals or whatever. Like, that's
it. Yeah,
bro. You can get a 21-year-old who will never fulfill his potential. You know what I'm saying? Doesn't add nothing. Like, look at Cavani. Like, you look at someone like Cavani. Has he not paid back his worth? Like, he's done his thing. Like, they even asked him to do another year.
Listen, if we had Cavani this season, we would be comfortably top 4. Comfortably.
I just
completely agree.
On players, if they're a little bit older, like if they've got a work, if they're, I'm saying, if there's a purpose for them being there, you get them. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, speaking of Cavani, sorry, Els. If we did want to fill the void for a year, it'll probably never happen. But to certain someone leaving Manchester City at the end of the season, who I think would be quite nice in Liverpool shirt.
Yeah, I personally think he will be nice, and he's somebody who, well, 15 minutes, we need a goal, or we need something in the box. Chuck him on, fam. Chuck him on. He's deadly, fam. He scored. Look at the goal he scored against Palace. This is Conor Guerrero, if everyone's not following.
That was deadly.
Well, look at the goal he scored, fam. That goal was unbelievable. Left foot. How many touches did he take? Like 2 touches?
Yeah.
Bam. Yeah, bro, if you know what happened, he's away, he's gone. He's celebrating. So, yeah, man.
You seriously look at it. If you can't get like a melon or something like that, just get a striker in who can just score goals, man. I don't mind, fam.
Just get him in because he will score goals for you. He will definitely score. He will contribute more than Firmino's contributing in terms of the goal scoring aspect. And like we can't. And the thing with football fans is that we choose that. We're so picky. We're so choosy that. Like, we don't want Firmino because he's not scoring goals. But then if we say, oh, yeah, let's get Aguero. Oh, man, he's too old. Let's get Michael. He's too old. Bruv, what do you want? Do you want to score goals? Not everyone can have that, the shiny new young player who's just coming through. Who's fam, sometimes in things like football, you just need someone to do a job for you for like two, three seasons. Another person who was so good at that was Ferguson. When Ferguson just needed a stopgap. Your Henrik Larsson's, your Dimitar Berbatov's. I know you bought Berbatov for 30 million, but still was like, I just need someone to do a job for now. You know what I'm saying? Ferguson always used to do it, and he always used to find the correct player, and I think that's what Liverpool needs to start incorporating, bro.
Yeah, I completely agree. Just back to Vegas for a minute. I think if you want a guy who you can kind of play, that does the duties of a Liverpool number nine should do in terms of the defensive work, you know, linking up play and just having really good movement in the final third, he's a guy you definitely consider. And he's a target man, but he's not your prototypical target man. So I think there's a lot of good. I think the good thing about this summer is there's a lot of good options on the table, and it'd be nice to see where Liverpool do go. But I think that's it from us today. I have no idea how we've managed to fill an hour and 10 minutes of Liverpool FC content. No idea. There wasn't even a bloody game, and we've done it. We've done it, boys. We've done the impossible. We've lived the impossible dream. So, I have been your host, Chris. I've been joined by Alice and Peter. Thank you very much, lads, for joining me today. If you have been watching us on YouTube, you've been in for a treat, as we gave you diagrams upon diagrams upon diagrams. If you are listening on the audio, you have missed out on the diagrams upon diagrams upon diagrams, so do head over to YouTube to check out the diagrams. But again, thank you very much for listening, and we will be back with a lot more Patreon content this week for our lifeless fans. But we will see you next Tuesday for the usual show. Thank you very much for tuning in. We'll see you soon.
Thank you.
Network.